Hello and welcome to episode 29 of Esposito. That is right. Sorry, it's just I'm very, very, very tired. So yeah, welcome. Thank you very much for rejoining us. I hope you're enjoying the show to date. We are coming up to the end of the first exciting season of Esposito. Dungeons and Dragons in Space, which has been DM'd by our marvellous and sexily bearded Thomas Kirk. Thanks, Tom. Anywho, yeah, thanks for listening. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you leave us a review or just a rating on whatever podcasting app you tend to use. You could also share us with your friends, with your family, with your pets, with your, I don't know, mythical gods in your own fantasy RPG or sci-fi RPG settings. You know, do what you like. I'm not your boss, but I am your librarian. Gosh, that got away with me. I rambled a bit there, didn't I? I don't have anything else to say. Enjoy the show. On the last Esposito.
You have a good idea where the Shattered Tower will be. You shift over to the console that controls the maneuvering thrusters, and you start to try and line up the Luciola for a long distance approach towards the Shattered Tower. Pax, this is probably going to be one of the most important roles of the campaign. Can you please roll for me a piloting maneuver?
31.
You deftly spin the Luciola around and line up the airlock, leaving you attached and achieving atmospheric pressure with the Shattered Tower.
Right, so we need to go somewhere to blow up the ship.
I mean, that is the general plan. So,
right.
I mean, is there some sort of, you know, fuel containment room?
Well, I think engines or fuels cells.
Yeah.
D4 or Damson, can you look at the schematics to figure out where we are and sure. Where either fuel cells or engine room? I mean, are we all happy with doing it that way? Like, we put some explosives on fuel cells or in the engine?
I mean, I've got all these breaching charges. I mean, it'd be a shame to waste them.
I've got a grenade.
Oh, dear.
I already regret giving you the grenade.
Why does this feel like foreshadowing?
Just packs in the corner like Ralph Wiggum. I'm helping.
In my head, it's more like Brick Tamland out of that fight out of Anchorman. He's just like walking around with a grenade screaming.
So which one's nearer?
Oh, yeah, Tom, I downloaded the schematics, didn't I?
Yeah, you'll have the schematics of the blueprint, I think Jefferson originally got them from The Sim quite a long time ago, but Rosetti also sent them over after you spoke to him in Baltrine.
Yeah, I did an excellent computers check.
Yeah.
Can I try and do like a computers check to like download them onto like any kind of like personal instruments that we have, so that we've got like a map that we can use on the ship?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You're not doing. There's no resistance to what you're doing here. You're literally downloading a file onto essentially a USB stick, aren't you?
Do you struggle to get it in the right way?
Just turn it over.
I'm going to say that doesn't even need a computer's check, to be honest, because you're literally downloading a file.
The third time you flip it, it fits.
Yeah, I mean, it does always take a few.
It's so yeah. All right, let's not get caught up on USB sticks. Guys, come on. So, what's near us? Where are we going?
I look at the map. Tom, tell us where we are.
What are you looking for?
Either the engine rooms or like fuel containment, something like that.
Okay, so yeah, so the middle airlock where you've docked. You actually can locate both those things, and you're actually really close to both of them. This airlock, and again, this is me planning badly, obviously, is right around the corner from both of those rooms. So if you came out of the airlock and turned left twice, you'd get pretty much straight to the engines, and right twice, and you'd pretty much get straight to the fuel containment section.
How convenient.
Yeah, I didn't think this through.
I propose we split the party.
That's always worked well for us.
We could have Team High Explosive and Team Grenade.
And Team I'm Getting Back on the Ship.
So yeah, I mean, if it's close by, let's just, you know, go in there, dunk on the fuel room, and then bounce.
I mean, yeah.
Are we going to go looking for anyone, or are we just going to?
I mean, if we kill the ship, we kill everyone on board, surely.
It does seem like a safer way of doing it. Like,
it's not very on brand, but I would like to do this stealthily.
I don't know.
It's not like I planned out three stories of ship with approximately 48 rooms, give or take.
See, he hasn't done anything. Let's just blow it up.
if we can get away with like hiding explosives on a fuel cell, maybe it'd be fun to go and show our faces to the people that we're killing. It's worth trying. It would be fun because.
It would be fun, but it'd also be a tremendous mistake, I feel.
Yeah, and so much walking.
I assume there's lifts.
Well, I mean,
maybe an escalator.
Unless there's that, like those airport floor escalators.
When have you ever seen in any fiction an escalator on a spaceship?
Oh, in...
Damn it, he's got an example.
Wally. In Wally, they had escalators because they had like a massive mall bit because it was a floating, it was a spaceship that was a city. They had escalators in that.
Did they? I thought they just floated around in chairs.
Not even a good sci-fi. I mean, it's a great film, don't get me wrong. It's just, it's not good sci-fi.
I feel we could debate this, but I don't think we should.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if I fully believe that statement. I think it actually is brilliant.
Yeah, I think I disagree. Just because it's for a younger audience, I don't. Yeah. I would vehemently disagree with that.
Yeah, I think I'm actually... I disagree with myself as well. I think I'm an arsehole for saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very least, the escalators stand out.
it's trailblazing with its use of escalators.
Really pushing the sci-fi envelope.
I've said this and I'm not convinced that they are in it now, but...
I don't think they are, because I think everyone floats around on chairs.
John, have you talked yourself into a really obscure corner?
Gattaca also has them, but not on the spaceship, but it is a sci-fi with escalators. So.
Yeah, well, no, that wasn't the question. I mean, if it's just any sci-fi with, you know, it's that's just any form of the fucking future, isn't it?
Johnny, you wouldn't like some sort of weird subreddit where it's like sci-fi escalators and where to find them?
I'm not yet, but I'm doing it now. Fuck you.
I just think to suppose that this top of the range military spaceship has escalators is a little bit undermining of the narrative I've woven. Roll the fucking dice, John.
For what? What am I doing?
I don't know. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's play it by ear. Like, if we feel like it's too easy to just plant the explosives and leave, we'll go off on a hunt for people to kill. If we decide that actually it's a lot of effort and we feel like Tom should be punished for spending so much time designing this ship and not putting any escalators in, then we'll bounce.
I feel like it'd be a fun callback to Peloton, just us utterly circumventing all the plans.
Yeah, we'll go to the airport. Don't worry about it.
Oh, the airport.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be fair, as long as I get to use my breaching charges, I'm fine. I plan on using these breaching charges.
I have a grenade.
And Pax has a grenade.
Shall we go fuel cells then? Yes, no?
Yes, yes.
Yes. I think we should.
And then leave immediately. Because these are some terrible plans. But the fuel cell seems like a good start. Why am I saying this? We're all going to die.
So you are, yeah, you're currently just... in the rear of the Luciola, you've docked, the airlock is locked in, you know, you can, how do you want to go forth?
Can I just sort of open the airlock door and have a little look around to see if there's anyone sneaking about? Well, I guess they wouldn't be sneaking. Anyone that could be about to spot us sneaking about.
So you open the both airlock doors, I presume. So you like go into the actual main.
Oh yeah, like I go into the airlock, and then they open the airlock into the shattered tower.
So you open the airlock door into this long, dark corridor running left to right. It is unusually dark. The only light is some sort of light purple emergency lighting running along the side of the walkways, giving this kind of strange ethereal glow, this dark ethereal glow to the corridor. But other than that, that you can't really see anything. There's no adornment, there's no decoration, everything's this smooth metallic board corridor. You can't even hear anything just as of yet. All you can hear is the faint hum of the engines going you look side to side and the corridor runs, as best as you can tell, about 20 feet in each direction before splitting off in at both ends of the corridor. Could you roll a perception check for me?
Why, certainly. That's a 15.
So you can't tell what it is, but you can hear footsteps walking along the corridor to your right. You can't quite tell where they're going or where they're sort of coming from, but you can hear these heavy footsteps clunking along, making the sound of quite heavy armor in a ka-dum, 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 sort of stepping motion along the corridor. And as you listen, you can tell they're starting to get a bit louder.
They're getting louder. So they're on a corridor.
So they're to your right as you face out of the as you look out of the airlock. But then you can see the end of the corridor. The corridor to your right ends in almost like a T junction. Mm-hmm. And they're coming from the right of that T junction. So where you they're coming from where the fuel cells would be on the blueprint.
So it's a right and a right.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Well, in that case, I turn to the rest of the guys and I'm like, there's some sort of foot monster out there. Or it has feet. Who wants to come with me and murder?
What if it's a foot monster who actually just collects feet? That's why he's a foot monster.
Oh, that's dark.
He's got a bag of feet.
Me, I would like to go and kill him, please.
Can I try and do it sneakily?
Yeah, I was going to do Pass Without a Trace on us all.
Oh.
Oh, but that might make it more successful. That's not what we do.
Damn. Just want to hit him.
Easy, Pax. You don't want to use that grenade on just some random foot guy.
He's got a bag of foots. He doesn't deserve to foots.
A bag of foots.
All right, so shall we go? I use Pass Without Trace.
So you tap into the computer on your wrist, and it starts generating this frequency that nullifies the sound of your footsteps as you move, making everyone move silently along the corridor. How are you going about this? What are you doing? These footsteps are getting closer and closer. You can see, you can hear.
So I'm going to not use a gun. Guns are not stealthy. I'm going to use a sword because I have one, and sneak up to the corner where he's going to like pass us. And then as he passes, stab. Are you guys going to?
I get sneak attack. Venomous nanotech dagger of toxicity thing. So yeah, I can go first.
You go first, then I'll jump in. Pax, then you.
Yeah. Just shank him. Shank the motherfucker.
Yeah.
I've also got a dagger of nanotoxicity.
Well, pile on in.
Let's all shank him.
Just this huge crowd.
Just quick, stab him up!
Like, so guys, it's important to remember, once you've stabbed, you need to move on. Because there's a queue, there's a...
Take a number, pass it on. Take a number, yeah, pass exactly. It on.
All right, let's do that. Let's sneak up to the corner and then stab.
Oh boy, here I go murdering again.
Okay, so you can you roll a stealth check as you everyone who's going a murdering, can you roll a stealth check as you get up to the corner of the corridor?
And don't forget, you get a bonus from Pass Without a Trace.
What is the bonus?
Let me just check. I'm pretty sure it's +10.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
On stealth rolls because of my heavy trooper armor.
Well, don't forget your plus 10.
Yeah, I got a 12.
Is that with your plus 10?
Yes.
I got a 33, so I disappear from all photographs that have ever been taken of me. my mother forgets my name.
Oh, actually, no, I didn't get a 12. I got a 15. Add my stealth.
Oh, that's not so bad. I got a 20.
Okay, so what did you end up with, Pax?
15.
Okay, cool. So you all managed to sneak up to the corner fairly successfully. Damson, you're first, and just as he gets to the corner, what happens?
I stab him right in his stupid face.
Okay. Do you want to roll a attack with advantage on that?
So that is a 24 to hit.
That does hit.
And that is 15 points of damage.
15 points of damage. Okay, so you managed to stab him just in the neck. Are you using the neurotoxicity on that?
Oh, shit, yeah, I rolled the wrong dice. It's plus 1d10 poison damage. Hang on. And that's another, yeah, that's another 5 poison damage.
Okay. Yep, so you stab him in the... sort of towards the neck and wrench it out, and he looks utterly aghast at what happened. He's just on patrol for the evening, and somebody just jumped out and shanked him in the neck. And he puts his hand up to his neck and looks down at his hand at the blood, and he looks up at you with a snarling face, and he goes to reach for his sword. At which point you can see the wound on his neck is starting to knit itself together. It's starting to close up, and then you see little strands, because you're quite close up to him here. You see these little strands of flesh join up together in very sort of straight lines. It doesn't feel like an organic growth. It feels like you can see these little almost, it feels quite non-natural the way that the wound is closing up.
Would I be able to do a quick maybe computer's check, like just to be like if they're like nanobots or something like that, to like just recognize them?
Roll a computer's check.
Or would it be a law check?
Well, I was kind of thinking it could be a few things. I would say you could either roll a computer's or a xenobiology check.
I've got better in computers. That is a 20 non-natural.
So you can tell that this is from you don't know what race this is, of what species this is. This, as you look at this creature, you've seen one of him before. He's not a Lorendi. He's almost double the size and the mass of a Lorendi. He's got these huge rippling muscles, this blue skin, and this this bald blue head. And all over his body are these strange little lumps and growths that almost look a bit tumorous in a way. You can see in this wound these strands knitting the wound back together. It's definitely the work of nanites, of some kind of nanobot technology, healing and stitching the skin back together.
Now, can I stab?
If Aaron's done.
Don't forget the cue, Aaron.
So what I'm going to do then is I'm going to do my intuitive action. I'm going to grant the enemy disadvantage to hit me.
Okay.
And if he misses me, I receive advantage on my next attack against him.
Cool. So then you sort of stab him and you shimmy slightly to the left and Jefferson.
So I'm going to stab him 3 times because I can.
I mean, that's an attitude that'll get you a long way in life.
Right. Okay. So that's a first one to 21 to hit. Should I just roll?
Just roll off there, yeah.
Second one is a 19 to hit.
Yeah.
And the third one is a 22 to hit.
All 3 hit.
Hooray! So, shit damage though. 5, and then another 4, so 9, and then... So that's a total of 10.
From all three?
Yeah.
Well, you weren't lying about the damage.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Yeah.
And then I make room for Pax or D4 to follow in and stab.
Let's go, let's go. Three attacks right into his neck. I'm going to try and sever the head.
Okay, yeah. So you just push past Jefferson and wade in there.
So two with the Yurumi sword. 12.
That does not hit.
Natural 20 on the second one.
That does hit.
And then 18 on the offhand.
Yep, so the crit and the offhand hit.
Okay. 15 damage on the crit.
Yep.
And then on the offhand, 10 damage on the offhand.
Okay. So you wade in and you bring down this whip-like sword onto his neck and then follow in with your second sword with your offhand straight into his neck. And you take a huge chunk out of his shoulder blade and his neck. And as you wrench the swords away, leaving blood all across the floor, he falls to one knee. And he puts one hand down on the floor and coughs up a huge chunk of blood. And he looks up at you. And again, you see these strands knitting the wound together. And the wound is knit together, but not neatly. It's not, from what you can see, it is coming back together at a ridiculous pace. Like, you've never seen regeneration like this. And it is healing the wounds almost as fast as you can inflict them. But it's not healing them neatly. You can see that where it regrows, and you can see it from the wound on his neck that that Damson put in. There's this almost scar tissue growing as opposed to actual normal muscular tissue. And you start to put together that all of these small lumps across his skin are made of old wounds that have healed too fast to be natural. And he looks up at you and goes, and can you all quickly roll initiative?
Wait, did Tom get to stab him as well?
Tom didn't say he was going to stab him.
I thought he was
really
in the line.
Yeah, I thought I was thinking as well with the nanotoxicity dagger.
Okay, if you were there, you can also jump in and stab him.
Fabulous. I'm probably going to miss anyway. 17.
Is that to hit?
That's the hit, sorry. Yeah,
that does hit, yeah.
Oh, excellent.
You can roll damage on that.
Brilliant. I'm going to say, is he on his knees at the moment?
Yeah, I'd say he's not prone, but he's definitely sort of down on one knee after taking a huge chunk out of his collarbone.
I'm just going to put a hand on his shoulder, look him in the eyes, and then jab the dagger into his kidney.
Okay, yeah, roll damage on that.
Excellent. That's a 4. It's a 7 normal damage, and I'm going to activate the toxicity as well.
How do you know where his kidney is?
That's a good point. Where a kidney would be on a humanoid.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
That's max for both damage, so 10 poison damage as well.
Okay, unfortunately he has kidney feet. His kidneys are.
Stab him in his kidney foot.
Right down
that's
in
why his
feet.
Feet make so much noise.
Yeah, that's why they're so clumpy, they're so full of kidneys. You stab him and you click the button under the hilt that injects this poison into his bloodstream, and he lets out this horrendous roar of pain as you see the veins and the blood around this wound seep with blackness, and he spins around and he pushes you off him and he draws his sword. And now can you all roll initiative?
18 for me.
Yep.
13 for D4.
18 for Jefferson.
I got a 21.
Okay, yep. Okay, so he lets out this billowing roar and he stands back up on both of his legs, and at this point you start to really realize this guard's enormity. He's a clear 7 to 8 feet tall. He, when he stands up straight into a battle stance, he towers over you, and you see this genuine presence of terror and intimidating muscle sort of glowering over at you. Pax, you managed to go first.
Cool. So I'm going to do three attacks again into the same place that I hit before, which is healing up again, the scar tissue. Just going to keep hacking away at that same spot.
Okay, yep, you go for it.
27, first one.
That hits.
18 on the second one.
Yep, that also hits.
And then the offhand, natural one, fuck.
So your first two hits, and you bring down the Arumi sword again straight onto this scar tissue that's healing up, and you're just taking chunks out of it slightly quicker than it can heal back together. You bring around your other sword with the offhand, and he manages to block it into his arm up into your wrist and knocks the sword out of the hand with the sheer force you were swinging at him. He blocks it. The sword flies out your hand and spins off further down the corridor. Can you roll damage on the two hits to his collarbone?
11.
Yep.
13 on the second.
Okay, so yeah, you bring these hits down and just taking chunks and chunks. And as you bring the sword down, you start to see bone coming out of the wound, and you can see almost what looks like the top of his ribs almost as you wrench the sword out, and there's blood dripping and pouring everywhere. But as soon as you take the sword out, these strands of flesh begin to coalesce back together, almost in a crosshatch pattern, as you see little beams of flecks of light flickering across across the wound as they stitch him back together. He then looks.
Does it look like, you know, that episode of Futurama where Fry eats the egg salad sandwich and gets worms?
It looks exactly like that. Thank you. It looks fucking exactly like that.
Cool, cool.
Yes. But with bone and viscera. He looks at you, Pax, and he brings his sword swinging round straight into you for a 24 to hit.
Yep.
And a 21 to hit.
Yep, yep, yep.
So he brings this sword into you, straight into your chest, and then he wrenches it out and brings it back down on you again for 16 points of damage. Then it goes to Damson's turn. Or Jefferson, whoever you want. You're even in the... You can choose.
I'll go.
Yeah, you go. You go.
Just thinking, would I be able to put a breaching charge on his back?
I mean, you could definitely give it a go.
To breach it? No, I'm not going to do that. That's silly.
Fine.
Because then we'd all need to run away from him.
I mean, you wouldn't, but...
I would need to run away from him.
Nah, you'd be fine.
Only if you want to live.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I'm just gonna stab him again.
Okay. Yeah. Get in there.
Yeah. I don't have sneak attack anymore, do I?
Yeah. We're all around him.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Because enemy within 5 feet. I'm gonna use the poison again. So I've got 22 non-natural.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay, and that is a 21 points of damage.
Okay, so again, you thrust this dagger into his stomach and give it a twist and click the button below the hilt as it again injects this poison into his body, and the blackness seeps out of the wound as you wrench it out. And he lets out another roar of agony as you can tell the poison, it discomforts him. You know, he's genuinely not a fan of it, but it doesn't seem to be slowing him down.
I like the description of pain discomforting him.
Yeah, you can tell that he's really not enjoying it, but it doesn't seem to be slowing him down to the point of death.
Just quickly, Tom, does this guy look like the guy from the Infinity Core base? I know that he was wearing a hologram thing, but didn't that turn off when he died?
Yes, he does. He looks like one of the ones who assaulted you in the bunk room. At least the same species.
The guy that didn't like necrotic damage.
I mean, I didn't say that.
You didn't say that.
That's what I was trying to remember.
The stealth lasted all of 5 minutes, guys. I'm going to shoot him with my disruptor.
Okay, so that would be an attack with disadvantage. Oh, no, you don't get disadvantage. You have a feat that stops that.
I do. I have feet that stop that.
Yeah.
It's a foot-themed episode. Okay, so the first one is a 20, not natural. And the second time is a maths 17.
So they both hit. Do you want to roll damage on those? As you reach down into your belt and you pull out the disruptor rifle and press it into his stomach and just pull the trigger twice.
So the first one deals 11 necrotic damage. It's necrotic damage, Tom.
Thanks for that, John.
That's right, Tom. And the second one deals max damage. 13.
You pull out the disruptor rifle from the holster on your waist, and you press it into his stomach and pull the trigger twice. There is this burst of dark, greeny black energy that fires and spurts out the back of him. And you see these large holes created in his stomach where just all of his innards get blown back across the cupboard. And he looks at you and he grabs you by the throat. Cupboard corridor. Interesting. You're in a cupboard. It wasn't an airlock. It was a cupboard. and he looks at you and he puts a hand around your throat and he clenches really tight and he looks into your eyes with
kinky.
Ever so slowly, his grip just loosens and he lets go and clutches one hand onto the cuff of your jacket, staring into your eyes, and he collapses on the corridor floor. And you look at the wound in his back as he's face down on the floor, and you can see these small strands attempting to form, but they're no longer straight anymore. They're broken and curled, and the strands that the nanites are creating inside him don't connect up, and eventually the wound starts to slough off almost into a puddle around the hole in his stomach, and he stops breathing and goes motionless.
Can I use a hunter feature I have hitherto not used?
It seems like a good time.
Now, the only reason I needed to ask about this is because he is dead, and I don't think it's really meant for dead things, but I've got a data scanner which says, as an action, choose one creature, construct, or automaton within 60 feet of you. You immediately learn the nature of the target's damage, immunities, resistances, and vulnerabilities.
Well, I mean, that doesn't necessarily state he has to be alive. I don't really.
That's true.
It doesn't say a living creature. I don't really see why they would have to be, per se.
It doesn't say living, so I guess you're right.
Yeah, you. You hold your wrist-mounted computer up to him, and a little green prism of light scans up and down the body, and it comes up on the screen processing. And after a couple of seconds of collecting data from the sim and analyzing the body, you learn that this is a creature called a Malagorian. They were initially, and it comes up with some background, they were initially a peaceful people who were enslaved. There was enslaved over the course of decades with the Lorendi. The Lorendi came to their planet as almost benefactors originally, as the Malagorians' technology was quite technological level was quite low. They were civilized, but they were at no level of the Lorendi. They were hundreds of years behind them in terms of technology. And the Lorendi came as these seemingly positive benefactors who helped them with society, with technology, with medicine. As part of their experiments, they also introduced the nanotechnology into them because it worked so well with their unique physiology. They already had base level regeneration, and the Lorendi used technology to augment that. What that did was give them basically a regeneration that was almost out of control. They became impossibly difficult to kill with anything other than lightning or necrotic damage. The lightning shorted out the nanites, and the necrotic damage hindered the genetic ability for them to regenerate. Other than that, they became almost impossible to kill, short of entire molecular disembowelment almost. They were immune to poison entirely. Their physiology entirely makes them immune to poison, and also they don't really need to sleep. They were immune to exhaustion as well. But yeah, so they were just extremely tough. They weren't the most skilled of warriors, but they were extremely tough and very, very strong.
Good to know.
But yeah, their relationship with the Lurendi didn't end well. Whilst they thought originally they were here with benign intentions, obviously the Lurendi gradually enslaved them and used them for their own imperialistic ends.
Okay, cool. So I turn and I relay most of this to the rest of the guys. And I'm also like, Prim, Salix, you know, come and join. That was a bit lazy of you. Like, you left us to just do that fight, didn't you?
We were covering the rear, you know. I think I heard someone coming from the other direction, but we saw him off, you know.
Well, good work then. In that case, excellent. I apologize for everything.
Oh yeah, rear guard, you know, hiya, all that.
Cool. So I relay this to everyone. They're basically unkillable except by my disruptor, unless anyone can do lightning.
I can lightning.
I mean, of course you can. Let's be honest.
Let's get rid of this corpse.
Yes, we should hide the corpse. Maybe take the radio in case someone asks about the gunshots.
Yeah, I'll grab the radio. Pax, do you think you can eat this entire guy?
I can always try.
Excellent. Maybe we should try and drag him to the airlock.
I will grab him by his feet. And the ones that are attached to him.
You start eating him from the feet, I'll start eating him from the head. We'll meet in the middle, like in
Lady and the Tramp.
There we go, that's the one.
yeah, you managed to drag him to the airlock quite easily. It does leave this quite obvious, when you know it's there, stain of blood across the grated floor. But in the darkness, masked by the purple lights, it's actually quite hard to see. So you think you might even get away with it.
Is it slippy?
No, it's like a grated floor. Most of the blood has sort of dripped through to whatever is underneath.
Pax would like to take a bit of that blood and smear it on his face.
Oh, Pax.
It's time for war.
Yeah, but not doing unsanitary shit with bodily fluids. That comes after the war.
Yeah. I'm going to go get my sword.
So you're currently stood in the corridor now, just between the airlock and the fuel cells, and more rooms towards your left, which you've not asked about. And there was a couple of gunshots there, which definitely echoed down the corridor. Disruptor's slightly quieter than a normal ballistic rifle. It creates more of a sort of noise as opposed to a traditional bullet sort of explosion, combustion.
So to the left is that's where all the other rooms are and stuff. But to the right is the airlock. Not the fuel tank room.
So if we were looking at the map I've made for this, to the north is what looks like a lift that goes to other decks, and the corridor turns around to the left. To the south is a corridor that you think leads to the fuel rooms. To the east, there's a corridor that curls around to the south, and there's a couple of rooms leading off it as well. There's also a very small, there's a small door by the airlock as well, just between the airlock and where you are now.
What's that? Are we going into the fuel room?
Just while before we head off, and while this is all going on, I'm going to be using a quick construct forging technique to create a robot helper.
Okay, what does that involve?
So, quick construct. You create a robotic construct which you command. The general appearance is your choice, but it's the size and shape of a medium or small humanoid.
Cool.
I mean, that's kind of sums up what it looks like. And it's got the statistics that are available in the GM book.
Okay, I will look those up.
The construct, I think. Forged construct.
Can I take this opportunity to use my alter appearance spell? Not spell, tech slot.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to make myself look like the guy I just killed.
Okay, sounds good.
Just, you know, for...
But more alive?
For sneaking purposes. Yeah, with less of the holes in him. But for sneaking purposes, I feel like we can at least get the drop on someone. I don't know. I've not thought it through the whole way, okay, guys? Jeez, shut up.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, you can definitely make yourself look like this Malagorian relatively easily. Yeah.
Cool, I do that. I make myself look different in D4 builds a robot.
It's just hobby time.
Meanwhile, me and Pax are just desperately trying to eat this dead body.
Oh my goodness, how far have you got? Are you up to the knees yet?
I think I'm at the shin.
I've just realised I don't have a mouth and I can't actually consume organic matter. So it's mostly all on Pax.
Are you just miming eating the robot while Pax?
I'm just cheering Pax on. I'm there for moral support more than anything else.
right, guys, I'm going to go in there.
Pax, don't eat this one.
Should we plan any
tasty
further than that, or are we just going to see what's going on in there?
Let's see what's going on.
Sold. Do you guys want to go anywhere in particular? Like either side of the door?
Yeah, we'll do another sort of line up behind you.
All right, cool. And then I open the door.
Okay, so you walk up to the door and press the button and it opens, and behind instantly you're hit with this wave of sort of noise and machinery that is incredibly loud, and you can hear a lot of it coming through the walls and from the pipes around you. In front of you, you see a room. There's several computers around the edges. There's a couple of large pieces of machinery at the end. And the main feature of the room are these two huge floor-to-ceiling fuel cells, almost like vats with pressure gauges on them. To your right, there is a Lorendi guard typing away at a computer. There is a scientist, a Lorendi, red-skinned Lorendi scientist at each of the two fuel vats. They're both checking dials, looking at the readouts, and making sure that the pressure and the flow, all those kind of things, are kept at optimum levels. At the end of the room, you see another Malagorian who is holding a large rifle. And he's watching over the room, and he looks to the door as it opens. The scientists, they don't really pay attention to you as you walk in. They're kind of used to patrols, guards coming in and out. And the Malagorian at the end, he looks at you, squints a little bit, and then sort of nods and just goes back to surveying the room. All around, again, you can hear the hum of machinery, the ka-tunch, 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 and you can see pipes of liquids, coolants flowing around the room, and there's a dull orange light filling the room with this sort of glow, and it's very mechanical. There's pretty much everywhere you look, there's almost something contributing to the heart of the ship.
I nod back to him.
Yeah, he acknowledges you. He in this room, that the level of noise in here, you get the feeling he didn't hear any of the kerfuffle outside, and basically he seems to be quite happy to just assume. Nothing. He doesn't passively notice that anything is untoward about your appearance.
Can I, bear in mind that it's a very loud room, can I try and sort of, without moving my mouth too much, say, give me a demolitions charge.
What did he say?
Give me a demolitions charge.
Oh, Pax, give me a grenade.
Not a grenade, a fucking...
The guard at this point, he sort of squints in your direction, because you're not just mouthing something out of the corner of your mouth here. You start having a full blown conversation, because evidently Damson doesn't want to play ball.
Because Damson's being a dick.
Because Damson's being a dick, the guard seems to notice you having a full blown conversation, and you can tell he's paying attention to you now. He's not doing anything about it, but he can't hear anything, but you can tell that he's noticed that you've walked in and started talking to something behind you. He's not suspicious per se, because he has no real reason to be. He's in a safe place, really, you know, where he can talk about his feelings. But
that's nice. I like that.
It's a lovely work environment. But he's just a bit curious, really, I guess, as to what you're looking at, what you're talking to.
I just say again, give me some demolition charges. Anyone? No one?
Okay, no.
Literally what we're here. At this point, Jefferson does just turn around.
Hey, did you buy these demolition charges? If anyone's going to blow something up in here, it's going to be me.
All right, then you put on a disguise, you walk in there and you do it.
I transform into Scruffy, and...
Absolutely the wrong disguise.
Well, I've only got three disguises. The other one's an old man, the other one's a Harrison Ford ripoff.
Right, enough of this.
So, you notice, Jefferson, that the three scientists have now stopped, and they're all looking at you. The Malagorian guard is now... He's not pointing his gun at you, but he's sort of raised his gun from down by his side, and he looks at you and cocks his head to one side and says,
I lift my hand to my ear and sort of indicate to him I can't quite hear him.
He starts walking over closer to you.
Right, I'm going hardcore.
Maximum effort.
Yeah. I might even use maximum effort. He wants to slide through Jefferson's legs.
This guard is now walking across the room towards you, Jefferson. Pax, you can't really see what's going on particularly, but you get a bit of a vibe that Damson might be causing a bit of a problem here.
Yeah, there's a delay and it's frustrating Pax.
Yeah, and it's frustrating Jefferson, which is what is giving you the biggest hint, because he's turned around and just given up all pretense.
So I would like to slide through Jefferson's legs and hit the nearest person to me.
Which would be a scientist Lorendi, just on your right-hand side as you go into the room.
Okay.
So can you roll an acrobatics for me?
I can.
If you're about to knock me over because you couldn't just walk round,
it's cool this way. I'm going to come out of nowhere because you obviously altered your appearance in some way. I'll just slide through, like you've given birth to me or something. I rolled a 15, but I will use maximum effort, Deadpool style, to add another 3 onto that for 18.
You slide on your knees, sort of remembering that. Jefferson's his size is actually much smaller than it appears because of the illusion that he's cast upon himself, and you just manage to duck under him, and you appear out in front of him, and you're now facing in front of you. You can see the Malagorian, two Lorendi scientists sort of towards you, and then one immediately on your right.
Hit him 3 times. The one on the right.
Oh, okay, cool. So, yep. Do you want to roll those attacks?
First one is 24-5. 25.
That definitely hurts.
And second one is 21.
That also definitely hurts.
And then the offhand is 17.
Yeah, that also hits. So, yeah, you put three... you slide through Jefferson's legs, whip out both your swords, and just chop down. You hack down this Lorendi in a science uniform before he's even managed to take his hands off the keyboard. He barely even realizes what's happening. The rest of the room, the other three figures in the room, take a sort of step back slightly as they're quite taken aback by this. The two scientists look pretty mortified, but the guard... raises his rifle quite quickly. And can you all roll initiative?
20. 19 for me.
21.
13 for Deacle.
Okay, so with that, Jefferson, you are the first person off the mark.
Do you want me to roll damage on my attacks?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
So they all three hit, yeah?
Yeah, all three hit.
Did you just assume that he died?
Oh.
Three hits from Pax, he's probably going to, but yes, go roll the damage.
Okay, so 29 damage.
Yeah, so again, you slide in, draw your swords, and just both of them into this this scientist and hack him down before he even gets his the keyboard.
Can I cut his head off?
No, because you slid through on your knees.
Damn, okay.
You're too low down.
Okay. That's for later, though.
But he is deadsies.
Yay!
So, Jefferson, it's you first.
I'm going to, surprisingly, fire my guns at the Mandalorian. Mandalorian?
No, wrong franchise.
Wrong sci-fi.
Wrong sci-fi entirely.
Megdalorian. Mangalorian. Midichlorian.
DeLorean?
I reversed the polarity. No, I'm shooting at that guy.
Centurion.
Is he a Centurion?
He's a Malagorian Centurion. Who drives a DeLorean.
Oh, he's so cool.
He is.
The first one is I've just rolled the dice. I can't add the sniper feet now. So the first one's a 23 to hit.
I mean, you can add the sniper feet if you want.
No, all right.
No, you can't. I'm joking.
Oh,
I just want to tease you.
You're a cheeky one.
Oh, it's what I do. It's what I do. Okay, yep.
So that is 1d6. So that's a total of 6 piercing damage.
Okay.
Then I'm going to fire my pistol at him again. That's a 27 to hit.
Yeah, it hits.
That's another 6 piercing damage. Oh, no, sorry, that's more than that. That's 8 piercing damage.
Okay.
And then, hang on, I'm still not on my offhand yet. First turn, I get an extra attack. So I'm going to fire my auto pistol at him again. This time, I'm going to use the sniper feet, Tom.
Okay.
I'm using the sniper feet. Oh, that's not great. That's a 9.
Okay, that does not hit. It clangs off the wall.
Okay. And then I'm going to fire at him with my disruptor pistol.
You have 4 attacks, wow.
Yeah, because it's attack.
I don't need your life story, I was just commenting.
All right. I forgot to add it again. That's a 23 to hit.
Yeah, it hits.
Okay, that's with the disruptor. That is 6 necrotic damage.
Okay, yeah. So you basically, you Peter Quill just into his chest, like you fire volley after volley into his chest as he walks towards you. And he takes all of these shots pretty much like a champion, and they just explode out of his chest. And again, you wouldn't notice it from this distance usually, but you can see, because you know you're expecting it, that these wounds start to close up quite quickly. Anything else?
I'm going to step to the side so I'm not in the way of anyone else wanting to come into the room.
Brilliant. So, Damson, what's your dex modifier?
My dex modifier is +3.
Okay, so you will go first before the next turn.
So I'm going to step into the room, and are there any sort of like scientists I grouped together?
No, they're both, they're probably about 10 feet apart from each other.
So is there one kind of like near me?
Not really. It probably goes, the Malagorian is sort of coming towards you, and then behind him are the two scientists who are still sort of at their terminals by the fuel cells.
I don't particularly want them to signal anyone, but that Mandalorian or Mongolian is pretty dangerous. I'm gonna shoot the big guy.
Cool. Go for it.
Oh, yes. That's a critical.
Brilliant. Okay, cool.
Cool. So that's, because it's a Ravager pistol, I get an extra 2d6 on a critical. So
nice. I'm glad the Ravager pistol finally did something.
Yes.
We've had that for a while and it's done nothing.
That is 15 points of damage.
15. And that's not with sneak attack, is it?
Oh, no, that's not with sneak attack.
Cool. Yeah, because there's no one near him. Okay, so yeah, you fire this, and this pistol again just carves into his chest, taking this huge chunk out of it, and you see one of the bullets particularly just takes quite a large chunk out of his as it finds a hole in his armor, and you see bits of flesh spray off him. But again, he kind of keeps on powering towards you, and he keeps storming. Is that everything?
And then I'm going to. So is there anyone between me and the big guy?
Pax kind of is.
Okay, I'm gonna do another one of my intuitive actions, but on this big guy.
Cool. Okay, so he takes a couple of these shots in the chest, and he looks down and looks almost a bit pained by these, but he's definitely powering through, and he ducks to one side behind. Behind a piece of machinery, and then he brings up his rifle and rests it on top of the machinery, and he fires it straight at Pax. And this rifle lets out this beam of energy that crashes into Pax twice for a 23 and an 18.
Yeah, both hit.
For 15 points of damage, Pax. Then he takes cover again behind this computer. At this point, one of the guards in the science uniform, he looks at the group and puts his hands up, and there's no weapons in his hands, and he says, "For God's sake, stop firing bullets in here! Do you know what this room is, you psychopath?" And the one behind him dives behind one of the fuel tanks and shouts out to you as well. "You're going to send the whole place up and kill us all!"
They don't know that that's our intention.
Correction, kill us both.
He doesn't know how to respond to that because he still thinks you're wrong. D4, it's your go.
Oh dear. So who have we got left in the room? The two scientists and the
two scientists and the Malagorium.
A Malagorium. I'm going to launch a grenade into the I'm going to fire an electric search at the Mandalorian.
Again, wrong franchise.
We're sticking with this.
I don't think we can. I think there will be several. You know. Due to our immense popularity, I think there'll be several litigious types around knocking on our door if we keep on this.
Okay, but not Mongolian as well.
We don't have, well, obviously, you can't particularly get sued for attacking Mongolians unless it's deemed a hate crime.
Well,
it's fine, we'll just build a wall.
Was that like a China reference? Because if so, that was brilliant.
It was a China reference.
Yeah, I love that, yeah.
Sort of tying together ancient China and current day America.
Yeah. That worked. Yeah.
Let's make the wall great again.
Okay, D4.
I'm just thinking if I've got the ability to forge a wall now, but I don't think that's one of my spells. So yeah, I'm going to fire an electric search at the Centurion.
Okay, I don't know what that does, but go.
It's a ranged forging lightning attack.
Okay, cool.
It's a natural one.
So you fire and it just crashes into the computer, and the computer sort of explodes in this shower of sparks.
Oh dear. As my bonus action, I'm going to make a coordinated attack and see if my drone can do better than I did.
Okay. So the drone flies over your shoulder straight into the room, flanks the Malagorian.
That's a 17 to hit.
And that does hit.
Because it's the only thing that's actually useful. 10 radiant damage.
Okay, so yeah, the drone sends this stream of energy into his side as you don't really see it connect, but you hear him let out a roar of pain.
And then I'm going to duck around the corner as well. So not actually coming into the room, but just sticking my head out to shoot. And then
it goes to the top of the initiative. Jefferson, you hear... on your radio that you took from the original Malagorian, you hear a voice coming through that saying, Q476, this is Bridge. We're getting reports of gunshots down in the fuel room. Can you report? Over. And then it's your go.
I don't know if I want to do anything with that.
Yeah, I'm going to say if you want to respond, that's going to be it's going to be at least your bonus action.
Nah, it's not worth it.
Didn't I have the radio?
No, yeah, you have the radio.
Okay, well, the voice still came through.
Oh, cool. So I'm legitimately allowed to ignore that. Cool. Based on the information given to me by the scientist about not firing my guns in here, because it'll blow up the ship, I fire my gun at the Mandalorian again.
You prick.
It's literally what we came here to do. That is a 15 to hit.
That does not hit with him behind cover.
Oh, is he behind? I ignore cover.
Oh, well, in that case, it hits.
Hooray! Okay, second
a fine hit.
Second shot is a 17 to... No, 22 to hit.
A fine hit!
So that is 6 damage, 6 piercing damage with the first one, and 11 piercing damage with the second one. And then I'm going to fire my disruptor at him again. That's another 22. And that is 9 necrotic damage.
Okay, so yeah, you managed to just connect with him, and he, again, this, the necrotic, the disruptor pistol, you get the feeling it really is hurting him quite significantly.
Does it look like the other shots are hurting him? They're just not...
Oh, they're hurting him, yeah. They're definitely hurting when they connect.
So I'm not wasting bullets on him?
No. They're definitely hurting him. They just, the damage seems to heal very quickly.
Okay. That's about it.
Okay. Then that would go to Pax's turn.
All right. Is the Mandalorian the closest to me?
Again, we do not have the copyright for Mandalorian. I'm literally not going to proceed with the podcast every time you say Mandalorian.
So
you're undermining my work, you're undermining George Lucas's work, you're undermining Esper Genesis's work. I'm taking a stand, and I want you to take this shit seriously, Michael Cole.
Is are the scientists closer to me?
No, they're further away.
I'm going to put 3 hits in the Centurion.
If you say not Mandalorian, does that yes. work? Are you okay with that?
Well, that could still be anyone in the room because there's no Mandalorians in
the room. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The big guy with... The big ugly guy.
Jefferson.
Not Jefferson now.
Whee! Sick burn!
I will shoot you later.
Okay, yeah, so you shoot the Mandalorian.
No, I hit the Mandalorian.
You hit on the Mandalorian.
I hit him hard. For 3.
Roll that.
21. Natural 1. And on the offhand, I think probably misses. But yeah, on a 12.
Okay, so you run up to him and you stab one of your swords into his side and you just drive it into his thigh and wrench it out as the blood coats the blade, and you get yourself into a fighting stance ready for any riposte on his behalf as he looks at you with a snarl and stands up.
13 points of damage from the one hit.
Okay, yeah, brilliant. So yeah, so he lets out a big snarl of pain on that one. Damson, now it's your go.
Okay, I'm going to throw a knife at the Mangabarian.
Okay.
It's not my poisonous knife, it's just my normal.
Yeah, you won't throw away your good knife.
What am I, an idiot? What am I made of knives? That is a 19.
So yes, that lodges just into his collarbone again. Do you want to roll damage that?
That's do I get sneak attack because Pax is by him?
Yes, you will, because Pax is by him.
That is 21 points of damage.
Yep, okay, excellent.
That's a hell of a knife.
That is a hell of a knife shot. You can see that it clearly connects with a large artery going through his collarbone, and there's this constant spurt of blood going with his pulse just squirting out. It sort of splashes on Pax's face, and he looks really happy about it.
Just after I've thrown it, I go, "That's a knife."
And after a couple of seconds, the spurting stops as the wound seals itself up again. He wrenches the knife out of his shoulder and throws it on the floor, and the wound closes and the spurting stops. He throws it on the floor and he grabs Pax by the back of the head, and that's for a 20 non-natural.
Yep.
Pax, he grabs you by the back of the head and slams your face into the computer, which is currently arcing with these sparks and sort of electrical energy that D4 has sent into it. And you take 8 points of bludgeoning damage and 5 points of electric damage as he burns your face into the computer. Then he wrenches your head back again, lifts up a huge war blade, and he tries to sink it into your torso. Oh, but only for a 9. So thrusts this war blade down into your chest to try and finish you off. You manage to bring up your arms and just lock the blade in between your forearms and twist it to one side, parrying the attack.
Can I, like, laugh at him from, like, you know, like Brad Pitt in Fight Club when he's got his face smashed in?
Yeah.
He's like,
"You don't know where I've been, Lou." Pax, okay. So Pax, you're laughing in the Malagorian's face when you feel quite a harsh burning in the back of your leg. As you look around, one of the scientists has plucked up the courage to attack you, and he's stuck a biro into your neck for 8 damage.
An actual biro?
Yeah, like a biro pen.
I'm sorry, 8 damage with a biro.
Oh, he rolled well.
It would seem that the pen is mightier than the sword.
Fnuff, 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 fnuff. And he uses his bonus action to pour himself a glass of port. He looks Pax dead in the eyes and says, "Excuse me, would it be terribly rude if I had a semi on?" That's my favourite wine joke.
I love the fact that you have a favourite wine joke.
You just don't appreciate me. It's great. It's great for restaurants if you look the way. I mean, you'll get you arrested, probably, but you look the waiter in the eye and say, "Would it be terribly rude if I had the semi on?"
I tell you what. To celebrate the end of season 1, we'll all go out to a fancy restaurant. We'll all dress up nice
and then make complete tits of ourselves.
The other scientist runs out from behind the fuel tanks, and he dives at you, Jefferson, and he lunges himself towards you for an 18.
I'm fairly certain that'll hit.
Okay, so, and he sinks his teeth. Oh my God, they're rolling so well.
He's biting me.
He sinks. They don't have weapons, and you're being suicidally horrible with your guns in the fuel room. He sinks his teeth into your neck for 6 damage.
Ow! That's he's playing dirty.
Can you also roll a strength check for me?
I certainly can. Check or saving throw?
Check.
Oh, you're the worst. That's actually pretty good. 17.
Oh, so you're also currently grappled by this scientist.
Oh, what?
He's gone full nerd rage on you.
I can't believe he bit me.
It's what I do.
It's D4, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm going to pop around the corner of the door again and then just look at the situation.
So you survey the room. You can see Damson is currently there. He's about to line up another shot from the other side of the doorway. Jefferson is currently wrestling a scientist in a lab coat off of him, who's got his teeth sunk into his neck, pouring quite a lot of blood. Pax is way into the room fighting a Malagorian with his sword. He's got these burns on the side of his face and sparks are flying out of the nearby computer, whilst another scientist is currently looking in sheer shock after he's got blood pouring over his hands. And you notice this, that Pax has this this small pen lodged into the back of his neck.
Excellent. I'm going to fire at the Mandalorian again. No, sorry. I know I shouldn't say that. The mandolin.
Captain Corelli.
Captain Corelli and his mandolin. Centurion Corelli. Yeah, I'm going to fire at him again with another electrical surge and see if I can actually hit this time.
Okay, yep, yeah, throw it.
Oh, that's much better. That's 24.
That definitely hits. Roll some damage on that.
Excellent. That's 12 lightning damage.
Okay, so you you bring up your actually no, you describe to me how does your lightning surge work?
So let me look at the description for it. In fact, no, I'm just going to put some flavor in here. I just hold my hand out, pointing in his direction, and just under my breath say, "Unlimited power." And then I release a burst of energy at him.
Okay, so we're really blurring the lines. Okay, this electricity fires across the room and crashes into the side of the Malagorian, who flies back a couple of feet. And you can't really see where he landed, but you just see this wisp of smoke just fly, like, rising up into the air. Pax, you look down. You're holding the back of your neck a bit confused. And you look down and you just see this this huge hulking creature with his skin blackened and charred from this electric energy that's just fired across the room from Pax, starting to bubble and crispen up. And you can see that he's just twitching slightly, just ever so slightly spasming on the floor. But he doesn't seem to move or get up from that position as he's pretty much locked rigid, and you're fairly certain that he's not going to carry on moving. With that, it goes back to the top of the round. Damson, again, you hear through the walkie-talkie that you took. All right, we're not getting a response here. We're going to send a dispatch down to the fuel decks to just check everything's okay. Over.
I'm gonna. Can I try a deception check and be like, that's a negative. We've got a fuel leak down here. It's very dangerous. Technical teams are on it, but we don't. The last thing we need is more personnel down here.
Yeah. On your turn, we'll go through that. But definitely. But on then Jefferson first.
I pull back slightly from the guy that just bit me, and I'm like. You bit me! Like, with your teeth. That's an insane thing to do, and then I shoot at him.
Okay, so... one second.
Oh yeah, I'm grappled.
Yeah, I was just checking, but no, that shouldn't affect your attack. It's not restrained, it's grappled.
Natural 20!
Okay, yep. Do you want to roll damage on
that? I certainly do. Fucking shit. That's... So I rolled a 1, so that's 2 damage on the dice, plus 5, so 7.
Okay, so yeah, you put one round into him, and he's still holding on quite aggressively.
I do it again! That's a 24 to hit.
That does hit.
It's 8 damage. I did more damage with my not critical.
Excellent. What was the first one again, sorry?
7.
Cool, yep. Go for it. He's still holding on quite aggressively, he seems to have gone full suppressing fire on you, and you get the feeling he's blanked out a lot of what's going on. He's just acting on instinct now.
And I just sigh and say, you know, I don't even say anything. I just sigh and shoot him again. I was trying to think of something witty. It wasn't there. I couldn't. I'm sorry. Natural 1.
You lift up this disruptor to fire into him, and he sort of snatches it out of your hand as you lift it up, and he sort of grabs it and wrestles it, and he just sort of grabs it from your hand as you try and put it into his stomach. But he's bleeding quite heavily. He's pretty wounded at this time. Pax, it's your go.
I'm going to turn to the guy who's standing with his biro, and using the technique of the Renalorin, Presbyterian, whatever. I'm gonna grab his head and smash it into the computer console.
Okay, monkey see, monkey do. Roll an attack.
So can I use my left arm to do this? My proto arm.
It's not an attack. So, do you want to roll a? Because I'd say this bit roll a strength contest.
Yeah. Using my left arm or just.
You can use your left arm if you want.
Okay. And add proficiency on it.
Not on check. No.
Okay. 12.
Okay. I mean, he rolled awfully, so you're pretty safe there. He rolled awfully. So you grab his head and you smash it into the computer. Do you want to roll a D4 for the bludgeoning plus your strength, and then a D8 for the electric?
D4 for the bludgeoning plus strength is 8.
Okay.
And then D8 plus nothing. 6.
Okay, so you slam his head into the computer, and that this burns, and the electricity from this fizzing computer as the electricity runs through his body.
Can I use my bonus action still, or was that part?
You have a bonus action, yeah, but not a second attack action.
Okay, so if I use my offhand to then try and chop his head off,
yep,
17.
That hits.
7.
Yeah, so you you lift his head up from the computer, bring up your offhand saber, and just bring it down on his neck, and his head just clean off, comes off in one go as his body crumples to the floor, and you're still holding his head by the hair in your hand.
I laugh maniacally into his severed head.
He doesn't really respond. It then goes to Damson's turn. You've just received the message over the comms.
Yep, I'm just going to say kind of what I said. I'm going to be like, there's a fuel leak down here. Pretty critical, but the last thing we need is extra personnel down here. Technical teams are on it.
Do you want to roll a deception check?
So deception is... Why have I only got one in deception? That's an 18 from me.
Okay, yep, you say that. Anything else you can do on your turn as maybe a bonus action?
Not really as a bonus action. I suppose I can dash as a bonus action, as my cunning action. I can dash out of the room.
Yep, you can.
Keep an eye down the corridor and see if anyone is coming.
Okay, yeah, so you run back down the corridor to the team clinic. And you set up a defensive position. You run straight and you run back to where Pax and Celix and Prim are stood, who've set up at the T junction with their rifles. It then goes back to the scientist's turn, who rather skillfully flips the disruptor round and manages to shoot it into your stomach, Jefferson.
You shot me with my own gun.
And I bit you.
And you bit me! Just... Fuck, you're in the wrong job.
I mean... I feel like we can discuss this later, really, but you...
I mean, yeah, let's get on with what we're doing, but...
You kind of started this. I mean, I'm not an aggressive person by nature.
No, hang on a second.
I wanted to be a dentist, you know.
I didn't start this. Zamir Ovos and Venom Page, they started this. I didn't, like this, I wasn't going to do any of this until they blew up the ship I was on. So, I mean, if we're throwing blame around, it's your guy that did it, so...
What's the damage on the disruptor?
It's 1d8, and it's a +1 weapon, I think.
Cool, cool, cool.
And it's necrotic damage, Tom.
Yes, it is. So you take 8 damage from the first shot.
Mm-hmm. For the first shot?
Oh, yeah, he gets 2 shots off.
Motherfucker, is he proficient with this?
Hey, these guys went through basic. They're Lurendi. They may be scientists. But, you know, they've had training. They're a very warlike race. What's your AC?
15.
Okay, so the second one also hits, even with disadvantage at this close range, for another 8 damage. So 16 damage in total, necrotic. that that he blasts off into your stomach.
Livid.
He then tries to push off from you and make a run for it down the corridor.
As my reaction, can I try and stop him?
You're getting a sort of an attack of opportunity.
All right, that'll do. Has he still got my disruptor?
Oh, yeah, he's legging it.
Fucking, I shoot him so hard in the back of the head.
Okay.
That's a 18.
Yeah, that does hit.
That's 11 damage.
Yeah, so he makes a break for it, and you just lift your pistol, point it at the back of his head, and just put one bullet straight through the back of his skull, which explodes all over Damson and D4 as he falls down straight flat down on the floor.
I know it's technically not my turn. Can I still just walk over and grab my gun?
That's everyone, so that would put you out of initiative.
All right, cool.
So you guys can kind of do what you wish.
I pick up my gun and I fire at him with my disruptor, and then I bite his leg.
While you're doing this, Damson, you get a response over the walkie-talkie. Negative. We're getting repeated gunshots. It's they're still going on. It's protocol. We send a team down. Be advised. There will be a team with you shortly, just to check everything's okay.
Those are fuel plumes. They're very distinctive pops. It's a specific phenomenon.
Damson, let's just blow up the fucking ship and leave. Stop lying to them.
Okay, we're blowing up the ship and leave. I mean, we're not. Bye.
Sorry, what? What? Stay where you are. We're sending a team down.
I shoot the walkie-talkie. Boring conversation anyway.
Had to happen.
All right, let's plant some charges, detonate them, and then leave.
Okay. Yeah. So there's not an explosive skill, is there? Is there?
I don't think so.
Cool. Yeah. So, what do you do? Where you just?
Yeah, I just jump back and set some charges and let's bounce, guys.
So you, where you set them?
I'm gonna set one on the actual fuel tanks themselves.
Uh huh.
And then I'm also gonna set another one sort of at the terminals as well.
Okay, excellent. So yeah, you run over and you set fuel charges. And then what are you doing?
Heading back towards the airlock, yeah?
Paxa would like to take the head and volley it down the corridor towards the lift.
Okay, you walk out the room and drop kick the head down the corridor. I guess it just bounces harmlessly down the corridor.
But there's a weird, like, thudding, squelchy sound.
Yeah, seal it. Celix and Prim both look at you in utter disgust.
He just smiles at them both. I think he's probably lost a couple of teeth.
He still has a biro sticking out of the back of his neck.
I walk up to Pax and I sort of yank the biro out of his neck.
Ow.
Pax, you take 3 damage.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I mean, that was close to downing me, I'm not going to lie.
It was the only thing holding him in. As you walk down the corridor, you're making your way back to the airlock. You hear a sound from way down the corridor that sounds you've never heard this sound before particularly, but it sounds very familiar, and almost instantly you know exactly what this sound is, as this noise just echoes down the corridor going and you see at the end of the corridor a light above the elevator door light up, and the doors slowly start to open.
I very quickly walk over to Damson, and I'm just like, Damson, I really appreciate everything you've done. And I take his hands in mine, and then I just press the detonator.
No.
Yeah.
No, I literally, at the point where you tried to touch me, I would have instinctively jumped back.
All right, I still try and reach out and grab the detonator and press it.
No.
I am assuming we're out of the fuel cell room now.
You are, but you're not far away. Damson, do you want to make a... let me think. I think maybe... John, if you want to roll a sleight of hand check.
Mm-hmm.
And Damson, if you just want to contest that with...
Be an insight, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to get... I'd say maybe both if you do a sleight of hand contest.
Natural 20.
God damn motherfucker.
So, John, you go towards and you just thumbs towards the detonators in Damson's hand, and he rips his hands away from you. And Damson, you instantly realise what he's doing as he goes to press the detonators. At the end of the corridor, the door to the lift is starting to open.
I roll my eyes and I walk back to the fuel cell door, open it, and just fire at one of the demolition charges and close the door.
We're still on the ship, idiot.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'd rather blow it up now rather than, like, maybe we die in this next fight and then shit, we done nothing.
Okay, Jefferson, do you want to roll an attack for me?
I certainly, certainly do. That's a 16.
I was going to say 6. That, you've got a plus 10.
Yeah, I have a plus 10. It's impossible to roll a 6.
Yeah. Okay. Can you also roll a dexterity save for me?
Good AM. That's a 23.
Okay, so you shoot into the door and it clips into one of these detonation charges, which instantly erupts into this huge ball of fire. You reach to press the close button just in time, but just before you do, the shockwave hits you, blasts you back prone 10 feet on the floor, and you take 18 points of force damage.
I'm still going.
Idiot.
As you pick yourself up, you turn around and look to see the lift doors fully open and three figures walk out of it.